D-Mace Finnegan and Donick 102.5 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary. At Bet365, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, David Jaynes back in the saddle with us after a couple of days off. Willie Donick out today.
Yeah.
Is there anything more satisfying, mm-hmm. Derek Mason?
Yes.
Than a well-timed I told you so?
There's nothing better. There's nothing better. I told you so.
So
let But it could be bad, too. Like, man, I told you so. Now we're in a bad predicament.
Let me set the scene for you. This morning, my wife and I are helping our son get ready for school. Mm-hmm. And my wife drives Arlo to school on her way to work. Mm-hmm. And Arlo likes to take a toy in the car because he needs something to occupy his time in the backseat. So recently, we bought Arlo this Hot Wheels-sized Lightning McQueen from the movie Cars.
Ka-chow!
Ka-chow! And we haven't been able to find it these past few days. And mm-hmm. Arlo is looking for it. He's getting upset because he wants to bring the little Lightning McQueen in the car. And I said to Bridget, I think it might be in your car. And she dismisses that out of hand. It's not in my car.
Oh.
So Arlo picks another toy. He's fine. Kiss him goodbye. Kiss the wife goodbye. Have a good day. I'll pick you up after school, bud. Close the door, lock it, go upstairs to get ready for the show. About a minute later, I hear the door open, and my three-year-old shouts from downstairs, Dada, we found the little Lightning McQueen! And I shout downstairs, Great, buddy, where'd you find it? In Mama's car! And I just said, huh. That's all I said.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Did she hear you?
Oh, she heard me.
And she hears you now, I'm sure.
I may pay for this later, but I feel great right now. There is nothing better than a well-timed I told you so.
There's nothing wrong with that. You're right. But in some certain situations, you just wish you didn't have to say, I told you so. But
right. This
was one of those situations where harmless.
Well-earned.
Well-earned, yeah. And I'm sure, you know, Arlo probably found it.
Probably.
I'm sure he probably found it.
It was probably in the cup holder of his car seat.
Yeah. You know, see, this is what, and tell me if I'm wrong. Guys out there, tell me if I'm wrong. This is where it would be totally different with a guy. If that toy was found in our car after our spouse or our partner told us, it's probably in your car. And we said, no, it's not. You know what we doing when we find that? We ain't telling you where we found it. we ain't telling you that we found it in our car. Like you say it. We're not doing it. We say, yeah, we found it. Where did you find it? It was somewhere. It was around. We say it real quickly as we're leaving.
But she knows.
Yeah, she would have probably found out. Yeah, because Arlo would have said, yeah, Mom, did Dad tell you we found the car? Yeah, Dad. Daddy told us. Where did you find it? Oh, we found it in Dada's car.
All I could respond was, huh, as in, huh, that's interesting. I thought it wasn't in your car.
Oh, man. So what you're telling me is your day started off great.
Yes.
I was about to tell him, watch how you answer that.
Who's to say how it will go from here? But I feel great right now.
Exactly.
I feel great right now.
Probably downhill.
Well, Dexter says, that would be a great segment. I told you so. Presented by Busy Bee. Hey, Busy Bee,
hey,
if you want another sponsored segment, we are happy to have you. As you may have heard roughly 50 or 60 times over the previous 2 hours, Chase McCabe on vacation walked in here. The chair was still spinning because of how quickly Chase jumped out of the chair into his vacation. So it feels like when your teacher is out for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ian is the substitute teacher in this scenario, but there are no rules.
None whatsoever.
None. Well, the FCC. Yeah. They still.
They do regulate. They still what have we the can, rules. What we can do and what we can't do. So.
Joey from Gallatin says, got to take the small wins in the marriage. She magically won't remember next time, but you will never forget.
Exactly.
Henry says, Adam, in marriage, you can either be happy or you can be right.
Yeah, one of the two.
So I'm riding high right now, guys.
As of now, as we're speaking.
Check in with me around 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock.
Just send out an X or tweet. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Update. Wife didn't cook me dinner tonight, only for her and Arlo. And she is an outstanding cook, so that would make me sad. But nevertheless, I am riding high. And today is really the first day of the NHL's dead period. We will have Elliot Freeman on at 1 o'clock, our final conversation with Elliot for the season before he, like many Canadians, head to the cottage for the next couple of months. A well-deserved break for Elliot Freeman. And he will join us for the final time this season at 1 o'clock as we break down Predators free agency, NHL free agency, and all of those things. But first day of free agency, come and gone. An underwhelming day of free agency, not just for the Predators. They made one signing, Nick Perbix, the defenseman from the Tampa Bay Lightning. But around the league, just an underwhelming day of free agency. But July 2nd, that's when the NHL flips into off-season mode. And you know what? We will hold that because Bob is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David says, Bob on Adam calling out his wife. So why don't we hear from Bob first? Bob, go ahead.
Hey, Adam. How are you today?
I'm doing well right now.
Well, question, do you have a really nice couch at home?
You know, it's well worn. Let's put it that way.
Well, it's gonna be worn more now because you proved your wife wrong. But then you also broadcast it for everyone to hear. It's been 15 minutes annihilating her. So you better have a nice couch.
I will make the best of the situation, Bob. Thank you for calling. I do have a nice guest bed if I do have to sleep there, which sometimes I end up in because my son, as I mentioned the other day, takes over the bed and kicks me out of bed. But nevertheless, so the NHL July 2nd is when it really flips into off-season mode. And there could still be moves made over the next few months, even over the next few days. But the Predators roster we have before us is more than likely going to be the Predators roster that comes to training camp in September and takes the ice on opening night in October. The NHL schedule isn't out right now, but we know that the opening night will be in October because it always is. So how do these post-free agency Predators stack up? I put together my projected lineup. I know Robbie Stanley did this exercise. Jared Stillman did this exercise. I talked to Robbie Stanley this morning. We sort of compared lineups. And I'm just going to go through these lines and defense pairs. And then I'm going to give you how I'm feeling about these Predators. And Derek, please chime in as well.
Okay.
So on the top line, I have Philip Forsberg with Ryan O'Reilly and Jonathan Marchessault. So from left to right on the top line, Forsberg, O'Reilly, Marchessault. No surprise there. Second line, I have Steven Stamkos, Fedor Svechkov, and Luke Evangelista. Evangelista, by the way, still needs a new contract. That will get done. He's a restricted free agent. On the third line, I have Michael Bunting, Eric Halla, and either Matthew Wood or Joachim Kemmel on the right wing on the third line. So a young right winger. Fourth line, Cole Smith, Michael McCarron, and Zachary LaRue. So again, left to right, from first line to fourth line.
Cole Smith.
So first line, Forsberg, O'Reilly, Marchessault.
Uh-huh.
Second line, Stamkos, Svechkov, Evangelista. Third line, Bunting, Halla, and either Matthew Wood or Joachim Kemmel or insert young right winger here.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth line, Cole Smith, Michael McCarron, and Zachary LaRue. Those are my forward lines, my projected Predators forward lines as of now for opening night. And I got to tell you, Derek.
Mm-hmm. It's not looking good for you?
It's looking bleak, man. Barry Trotz talked about the center depth for this team yesterday. This is And I am not, and I will not hesitate to say this. This has to be the worst center lineup in the National Hockey League.
Wow.
Ryan O'Reilly, a reliable player.
And you got him on the first line,
I
right?
do.
Okay.
By default.
Yeah, because Stamkos played center last year. He's right. not going to play center this
right.
year.
Right. So I have Ryan O'Reilly on the top line. And look, Ryan O'Reilly, you can count on him in every situation. But we knew a couple of years ago when they signed him that, hey, by year three, he'll probably be moving down the lineup. Wrong. He's still playing top line center in my eyes. And as much as I admire Ryan O'Reilly in his game, I don't think Ryan O'Reilly is a first line center in the NHL at this point. Then you have Fedor Svechkov, who led all Predators rookies last season with a grand total of 17 points in 50-plus games. Now, Barry Trotz did say yesterday, Derek, that he does want to leave spots open for young players, and I do think that's important. So, Fedor Svechkov, I would rather him be playing second-line center than Erik Haula at this point. And Barry Trotz does not want Steven Stamkos to be playing center on a regular basis. So, Svechkov it is. Mm-hmm. Erik Haula comes back, had a terrible season last season. As a third-line center, he's fine. I think that's kind of where he is at this mm-hmm. point of his career. And Michael McCarron, we know, can center the fourth line. But from top to bottom, yikes. And even Barry Trotz admitted yesterday that the defense and the wingers are going to have to do a lot of the heavy lifting. But as we know, center is an incredibly important position. And from first line to fourth line, I am confident in saying, without having looked at every other projected lineup in the NHL, mm-hmm. I am confident in saying that the Predators' projected center depth in my lineup is the worst center depth in the National Hockey League entering this coming season.
Hmm. Wow. I can't too much, I mean, agree with you. Disagree with you. Excuse me. I'm sorry about that. But what more can he do?
There really isn't because much he can do.
You know, you look at free agency and, you know, before it even started, all the big name guys re-signed or, you know, signed with teams before things even – well, re-signed with their teams before free agency even gets started. And then once you get in free agency, there's nobody worth paying the money to that is going to, you know, cure this problem that you have, at least not for the long term. I'm not sure why they didn't make – see, it goes back to last year. Why did they – and was there a center, you know, in last year's free agency that they could have counted on? Because they went away from the center position, so much so that Stamkos had to end up playing the center position during the season. So if this is a problem, you know, that you've had for a while and it has been – why didn't you address it last year? Why did you go so heavy with wingers and not address it with a centerman?
Off the top of my head.
At least one of the guys.
Right. Off the top of my head, there weren't many great centers on uh-huh. the market. And look.
But somebody better than what you have now outside of Stamkos, and he was just playing it by default.
It's a good question because, as we discuss in other sports, players in premium positions, good players in premium positions, rarely enter free agency because the teams that have those players are not dumb enough to let them go. So you are sort of picking off the scrap heap, more or less, when it comes to finding centers in free agency, for the most part. I mean, as we discussed yesterday, when the market opened, the best available center on the market was Mikael Granlund.
Yeah.
And Mikael Granlund, who signed a 3-year deal with a $7 million cap hit with the Anaheim Ducks. What was that?
Oh, it happens from time to time. I don't know where it comes from. I'm sure it comes from their
It was
blasting
one of those
somewhere.
Construction yeah. blasting things.
But it happens every so often.
It still scares me every time.
I thought that was God reacting to Mikael Granlund's contract. Like, they gave him what?
Huh?
But Mikael Granlund may not even play center for the Anaheim Ducks. He may mm-hmm. be a winger. So, you know, they probably couldn't have gotten that much better at center in free agency this summer or even last summer. you know, there were some centers available, mm-hmm. but yeah, they went with two wingers and a defenseman last summer. So, I mean, it's going to require Barry Trotz to get creative. Mm-hmm. And teams are not going to be giving them away. So it'll be interesting to see how they proceed. But at least Trotz, I think yesterday during his news conference, I heard mm-hmm. Robbie Stanley play part of it this morning. Alex Daugherty of the Tennessean was asking Barry Trotz about it and listed the centers. He goes, at center you have Ryan O'Reilly and Svechkov and Halla and McCarron, and those are the players that come to mind. And Trotz quipped, those are the players we've got. Like, he acknowledges that the center position on this team is going to be a weakness. Mm-hmm. And that, in turn, hampers the wingers, because you want Steven Stamkos to score more goals at 5-on-5. Well, is Fedor Svechkov going to help him do that? I don't know the answer to that. Steven Stamkos, you know, used to playing with elite players like Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov. Comes to Nashville and he's mm-hmm. centering a line, or he's playing with Tommy Novak or Fedor Svechkov. You know, it's been a step down. So
what about and listen, I'm not trying to sit here and say I know a lot about these players, but I'm just looking at centers in last year's free agency. And how about a guy like he went from Sean Monahan, I had it on the tip of my tongue.
Sean Monahan, he's a good player, mm-hmm. but and would he be the second line center on this team? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So why not push for a guy instead of getting those three guys? And we talked about this. Instead of going and get all three of them, why do you get two? And then get you a guy like Sean Monahan, who plays the center position.
It's a question that, if the Predators can't solve their center issues, it's a question that we'll continue to ask. You know, the Predators are hoping that Brady Martin will solve that problem one day.
Yeah.
Personally, I would advise against putting Brady Martin on the team this coming season, and maybe we'll get into that a little bit later. But yeah, I'm looking at the forwards here. Again, this is my projected lineup for the Predators based on where things stack up post-July 1st. Mm-hmm. From left to right, first line to fourth line. And you let me know, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You let me know how you feel about these lines. Forsberg, O'Reilly, Marchessault. Stamkos, Svechkov, Evangelista. Bunting, Halla, either Wood or Kemmel, or young right winger of some kind. Smith, McCarron, and LaRue. That is not a playoff team. That is a team that could be slightly better than the team that stunk up the joint this past season. So I'm not bullish on these Predators. 615-737-1025. What do you think of my forward lines? Projected forward lines now that free agency, the first day of free agency, has come and gone. Coming up next, we'll look into the defense, because this is the portion of the lineup that Barry Trotz prioritized this offseason with the acquisition of Nick Hague and the signing of Nick Perbix. But we will get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on my projected lineup for the Nashville Predators. We'll also talk more NHL and Predators with Elliot Freeman, our final conversation of the season with Elliot coming up at 1 o'clock. But before we do that, this week's Nashville's best deal is Tzatziki's. Craving something fresh and flavorful? Tzatziki's has you covered, from juicy chicken kebabs to perfectly grilled salmon. Every bite is bursting with Mediterranean goodness, and don't even get us started on the homemade sauces and dressing. Get half off a $25 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Tune in to ESPN 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Memphis. Pre-game begins at 6:20 and the first pitch is at 6:35. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, reacting to how the post-free agency Predators stack up. And spoiler alert, not so good. So I just ran through my projected forward lines from top to bottom, 1-4, left to right. Forsberg, O'Reilly, Marchessault, Stamkos, Svechkov, Evangelista, Bunting, Halla. I have either Matthew Wood or Joachim Kemmel on the right side of the third line, Cole Smith, Michael McCarron, and Zachary LaRue on the fourth line. So one texter reacts and says, top five draft pick again. Woohoo! And I'm not discounting that possibility that the Predators could be back where they were this past season. I don't think this season is going to go as poorly as last season did, because everything that could go wrong did for the Predators in 2024-2025. And I'm expecting a bounce back, but not a significant one, especially when looking at these line combinations. So let's go over the defense, Derek, because the Predators, they prioritized defense, especially over these past few days, starting with the trade over the weekend, acquiring Nick Hague from the Vegas Golden Knights for Colton Sissons and Jeremy Lauzon. And then they signed Nick Perbix from the Tampa Bay Lightning to a two-year contract with a $2.75 million cap hit per season. So here are my projected defense pairs based on what we heard from Barry Trotz yesterday. Top pair, and I don't love it, Nick Hague on the left and Roman Josi on the right. Second pair, Brady Shea.
But doesn't that put Roman Josi back where
it puts him on his off? It puts him on his offhand. He does have experience playing there. Trotz has mentioned to Jared that Josi may be playing on his offhand. And frankly, as I was trying to put together this defensive lineup, the only way it made sense to me, based on the things that Trotz has said, is by moving Josi to the right. So I have Hague on the top pair with Josi on his offhand on the right side. My second pair is Brady Shea on the left with Nick Perbix on the right. My third pair is Tanner Molendijk on the left and Justin Barron on the right. And, of course, you see Saros in goal. So Hague and Josi, Shea and Perbix, Molendijk and Barron. So my initial reaction to the Vegas Golden Knights-Nashville Predators trade from a few days ago was less about the trade itself and more about the contract that Nick Hague received, a four-year contract with a $5.5 million cap hit. So I've referenced, Derek, this website I like to use called AFP Analytics, and it is a website that specializes in NHL contract projections. They nailed it with Nick Perbix. They predicted that Perbix would receive a two-year contract with a cap hit of roughly $2.6 million. He received a two-year contract with a cap hit of $2.75 million. So they pretty much nailed it. AFP Analytics predicted that Nick Hague would receive the same contract as Nick Perbix. They predicted a two-year contract with a $2.6 million cap hit. The Predators gave him 4 years at $5.5 million per season. A gross overpayment. Multiple meanings of the word gross in that scenario. A gross overpayment for Nick Hague. But Trotz said yesterday that he expects Hague to play higher in the lineup. He thinks he was undervalued in Vegas because Vegas has a deep defense. And quite frankly, if you're paying him $5.5 million, he better be playing in the top four. So who knows if he can do it. He has shown an ability to play up the lineup at times. Same with Nick Perbix. But the Predators took much more of a risk in signing Hague to that contract than signing Nick Perbix to a two-year deal.
Okay. I'm channeling, again, my inner Willie Donick here.
All right. Coach Willie?
Yeah, Coach Willie. This contract, as it starts to age, he's 26, 27 years old.
I know you were going there.
This contract, as it starts to age, and if he continues to develop, like Barry believe he will, this will end up not being a bad contract. And let's just say even if he's not, say, on the – because right now you got him on the first pairing, right, with the defenseman, he and Josi, right?
I have Hague with Josi.
Yep. So even if, say, if it's not working out with Josi, you can put him down another line and it enhances that other line. Wouldn't you think? Because he has shown he's shown to be a good player. Now, was it because of who he was playing with alongside? Or was it because of his ability and he starts to develop?
Here's the thing about Nick Hague and Nick Perbix can also be lumped into this as well. Hague specifically was playing on a defense in Vegas that has three excellent defensemen. Noah Hanifin, Shea Theodore, and Alex Pietrangelo, although Pietrangelo's career is likely over because of injuries. But he had to play lower in the lineup because Vegas has an embarrassment of riches on defense, or at least they did, not so much anymore. As I mentioned the other day, it's similar to when Seth Jones was here before the Predators traded Seth Jones for Ryan Johansson. Seth Jones was a third-pairing defenseman for the Predators because on the top pair you had Roman Josi and Shea Weber.
Yes.
And on the second pair you had Matthias Ekholm and Ryan Ellis. So there really wasn't anywhere else for Seth Jones to go. And Seth Jones has proven over the years that he is capable of playing a bigger role. Let me respond to your Coach Willie-ism with, I saw this from friend of the station, Greg Rusinski of ESPN. He was writing about the Columbus Blue Jackets and their GM, Don Waddell. So Don Waddell held a news conference, I think, before the draft, just like Barry Trotz did, just like every GM did, just like every GM does, I should say. So let me read the tweet from Greg. Quote, Don Waddell, at Blue Jackets NHL GM and salary cap hardliner, quote, from Waddell, I've been educated, with educated in quotation marks, I've been educated by every agent I talk to. Just because the player was worth $3 million last year doesn't mean he's now worth $4 million because the cap went up.
I get that. I understand it.
So I hear what you're saying, that perhaps the going rate for a quote-unquote third-pairing defenseman like Nick Hague will be $5.5 million because of the rising salary cap. But at the same time, just because of that doesn't mean you have to pay him $5.5 million.
Well, again, the Predators are in a position where even though they went out and they splurged last year, they are almost in a position, it's like this year, they have to do something. They have to prove to this fan base that Barry Trotz is the guy, that Coach Bruno is the guy to coach this team. So when you go out and you make a deal like this, you may say, well, Nick Hague, he's not in the big – he's worth a little bit more. But when you are a team that is trying to make up for what you didn't accomplish last year, sometimes you may have to pay a little bit extra to get that person on your team. And you just hope that not even hope. You anticipate that your scouting was good enough that contract, you're not worried about the contract moving forward. That you've done enough scouting of this individual. You've watched him enough. You saw the development that you believe that this is not going to be a problem moving forward, the contract.
So one thing that the Predators absolutely accomplished in trading for Nick Hague and signing Nick Perbix is they've gotten bigger on defense. Nick Hague, this is not an exaggeration, is one of the biggest defensemen in the NHL. He is 6'6" and 245 pounds.
They need one of those guys, man.
Perbix is 6'4" and 206 pounds. So the Predators' defense core, their projected defense core, they're pretty big. Josi, 6'1", 201. I just mentioned Hague and Perbix. Justin Barron, 6'2", 198. Brady Shea, 6'3", 210. Last season, they relied a lot out of necessity on Nick Blankenberg, and Nick Blankenberg was a great story last season. He's also 5'9 and 177 pounds.
Yeah, it's not going to last too long.
I don't know off the top of my head how tall Tanner Mullendyke is. He is 5'11", 190, so he's on the cusp. So the defense got bigger. Theoretically, the defense got a bit nastier with Nick Hague, who sort of replaces Jeremy Lauzon as that wrecking ball on the back end. But the Predators are taking a risk here, specifically with Hague, signing him to that contract, that he can play a regular top four shift. Because he's done it at times in Vegas, but that wasn't his primary responsibility. He was a third-pairing defenseman who, if need be, was pushed up the lineup. So he can do it. The question is he capable of being, in my eyes, based on this projected lineup, a top-pairing defenseman every single night? I don't know the answer to that. With Perbix, the contract is not the contract is absolutely reasonable. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. You can probably find someone to take Nick Perbix off your hands if it doesn't work out in a year. Good luck trying to get someone to take Nick Hague off your hands if it doesn't work. So there is absolutely risk involved with Hague at that contract. And I'll be curious to know when we talk to Elliot at 1 o'clock, like what the market was for Nick Hague, because the Golden Knights needed to clear cap space to bring in Mitch Marner. Were the Predators in competition with several other teams to bring in Nick Hague, and this is what they had to do to cross the finish line? So I'll be curious to hear what Elliot Freeman says about that. But what are your thoughts on my defensive lineup? Hague and Josi, Shea and Perbix, Molendijk and Barron, and my lineup as a whole. Forsberg, O'Reilly, Marchessault, Stamkos, Svechkov, Evangelista, Bunting, Halla, Wood slash Kemmel, Smith, McCarron, LaRue, Hague and Josi, Shea and Perbix, Molendijk and Barron, and Saros. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Also, programming note, we're not on Friday, obviously, because it's the 4th of July, and Derek is taking a well-deserved day off tomorrow, an extra long weekend for Derek Mason. So yes, we're going to have a special Wednesday edition of Ask D-Maze at 12:30. So if you have questions for Derek, you can get them in now on our text line at 615-737-1025. But because no show on Friday, no Derek tomorrow, we will have a special Wednesday edition of Ask D-Mace at 12:30. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us at noon. But we will take your reaction to my post-free agency Predators lineup coming up next. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, The Game. This September, Tim McGraw will be performing at Trintix's Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, David Janes here with you. Willie Donick out today. Want your thoughts on my projected post-free agency Predators lineup? 615-737-1025. I'll run through it again quickly. Forsberg, O'Reilly, Marchessault, Stamkos, Svechkov, Evangelista, Bunting, Halla, either Matthew Wood or Joachim Kemmel, Smith, McCarron, LaRue, Hague and Josi, Shea and Perbix, Molendijk and Barron, and Saros and Net. I'm going to tell you right now, Derek Mason, as I've said already a couple of times.
That doesn't scare you?
Not a playoff team. On paper, I think you're looking at a cellar dweller. I don't think it's going to be as bad as it was last season. And when I say that, it's because I don't think the Predators were as bad or are as bad as they were last season. As I said, everything that could go wrong did. So I do think they're going to get a bump in the standings because I do think some things are going to work themselves out. But even then, like, I'm looking at a team that may miss the playoffs by more than 10 points. Like, looking at this lineup right now, again, I will say it unequivocally. I would challenge anybody listening to find a projected center lineup worse than the one that the Predators are going to be putting on the ice, according to me, right now on opening night. O'Reilly, Svechkov, Halla, and McCarron. I challenge you, and I would love to see if you can do it, but I don't think you can. I mean, The Athletic had a story a couple of weeks ago. They did a series where they ranked each team by position. Mm-hmm. Predators, number 32 out of 32, and that was before free agency and the draft. The question that you asked me, Derek, and I think we may get into this a little bit tomorrow. By the way, Connor Newt will be filling in for you tomorrow. It's going to be Take Your Son to Work Day when Connor Newt sits in on DVD because he's about 13 years old. But looking forward to having Connor Newt on the program tomorrow. I don't love the idea of Brady Martin being on this team next season. I think that puts too much pressure on the kid to perform right away, especially when you remember the reaction to that pick. And because we don't know a lot about Brady Martin as a player, I think there are going to be Predators fans who think, hey, if he's not on the second line and he's not producing right away, bust. What a terrible pick. Like, I think it would be in Martin's best interest. Maybe he gets a few games with the Predators, but I don't think he should be a factor on this team this season. Let's get to some reaction. We have plenty of it. One texter says, if the Predators are out of the playoffs come trade deadline, don't you think they'll trade off Stamkos, etc., and that will cause a plummet in the final 20 games to a top five pick? Well, Steven Stamkos, among others, have no movement clauses in their contracts. So it's up to, let me just double check
this. Not for the duration of the contract.
Steven Stamkos has a full no movement clause through the duration of his contract, which means that if the Predators want to trade Steven Stamkos,
he has to agree to
it. He has to do it. Now, if the team continues to stink, he may be like, hey, man, I want out of here. I didn't sign up for this. So that's possible. But there aren't a lot of tradable pieces among the veterans because they have either a no movement clause or a modified no trade clause, what have you. Mike in Lebanon says, the difference between the Titans and the Preds is that when the Preds lose, Bridgestone Arena is still a fun place to hang out. Well, you're right about that, Mike in Lebanon. Bridgestone Arena is still a great place to go, even when the Predators stink. Let's go to Ricky on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Ricky, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to add a little bit to the Brady Martin. First of all, I was at the draft party, and the reaction this poor kid got was kind of awful. I've watched Brady play extensively. Probably for the last year, I've probably seen him play about 30 games. And when I tell you he is going to be a Smashville favorite next season, he belongs nowhere near the NHL ice this season. But this kid's going to come in here and be Jordan Tutu popular. He hits everything that moves. He's a farm boy. He lives the country lifestyle. There's an old expression in hockey, take the shortest route and arrive in ill humor. That's his definition. This kid is going to be very popular. Let him mature a year in the minors. Let him get his legs under him to the bigger, faster game. And I think he's going to be a huge standout in Nashville.
Thank you for the call, Ricky. And that's sort of my point, Derek, that as he mentioned at the top, the reaction at the draft party at Bridgestone Arena, I've heard it was confused by the Brady Martin pick. I don't want to go as far as to say that the Predators would be setting up Brady Martin to fail if he starts the season as the second line center on this team. I think that's extreme, but I just think that it would be best for him to take another year in junior and make sure that he's absolutely ready versus forcing him into this lineup. Because you asked me, you're like, if Brady Martin's on this team, where are you putting him? I said, I might put him at second line center by default, maybe third line center. But I don't see Brady Martin, as the caller said, I don't see Brady Martin as a player who's coming in right now and making an immediate impact. So I think it would be unwise to put too much pressure on him right away.
Yeah, I can understand that. But, I mean, listen, maybe – you know, the Predators, and I'm not going to even say the Predators, maybe those that, the talking heads, those that are in the know, they talked about two individuals. Who was it?
Porter Martone and
Martone
James Hagan.
And James Hagan. They talked so much about those two individuals, and the Predators are picking high. So when you do draft a guy like Martin, you don't have a caller like that. This guy, our caller Lou, knew a lot about Martin. Typically, the average fan is not going to know as much about that third and fourth guy than they maybe do about the top guy or even the second guy. Why? Because those are the guys that are always in the forefront. Those are the guys that we're talking about. We're not talking about Martin as much or at all until really like the last couple of days of you know, before the draft hit. So when you're not talking about someone and then all of a sudden he gets drafted, the fan base, it's not like football or basketball or even baseball where you've been watching these individuals. Like, you can actually see them. So when you go to the third guy, we can say, oh, okay, I see why they got that guy. That guy can play for him. When you go to a guy like Martin, even though he's a hell of a player, he's shown he is a young guy, you don't know as much about him as a Predator fan. So now you're confused, like, well, I thought we were taking these two other guys. Now you're getting a guy that we hadn't even really thought about.
One texter says, Joel from Woodbury. And Joel, this is a question that I'm going to ask Elliot Freeman when he joins us at 1 o'clock. He goes, I have a theory on the Nick Hag contract. Was listening to Frank Saravalli this morning, another NHL insider. Mm-hmm. He said Tanner Jeannot got $3.4 million from Boston per season because he had 13 offers at the trade deadline last year. Nick Hag was a wanted guy. So in my opinion, Barry gave Hag what he had to. And I'm going to ask Elliot about that because if Elliot tells us that, hey, a lot of teams knew that the Golden Knights were going to have to shed salary. And Nick Hague, he had 10 teams that were calling about him. And the Predators stepped up and they increased their contract offer, gave the Golden Knights a little bit more than maybe they intended. I'm not going to say that excuses the contract, but it would at least help me understand how they paid him $5.5 million over 4 years. One texter says about the defense. Those big guys will help, meaning Hague and Perbix. Again, you had a 6'6", 245-pounder, and a 6'4", 206-pounder on the blue line. One texter says, were there any other defensemen that were better and deserved the money? I assume he means Hague. Yeah. Now, in terms of players who were available via free agency, no. Aaron Ekblad was ever leaving Florida, and he took a hometown discount to stay in Florida. I don't think he was going to take that contract from any other team. But I look at the other defensemen on the market, you know, Dmitry Orlov, Brent Burns, who's I think 40 years old. You know, there were some defensemen who were signed yesterday who also received bad contracts, as typically happens in free agency. So it's a good question. You know, my issue again with the Nick Hague contract is I just don't think he has shown that he is worth that contract. Now, I know that you've probably heard this in your field as well, Derek, mm-hmm. that you're paying for the contributions you're hoping to get, mm-hmm. versus paying for past performance. But I don't see a lot in Nick Hague's past that makes me suspect that he's going to play up to a $5.5 million contract, at least not yet. You know, the Predators are banking that he plays higher in the lineup. They hired Luke Richardson as an assistant coach, a former NHL head coach who played more than 1,400 games at defense in the NHL. They are hoping that that combination can unlock something in Nick Hague that the Vegas Golden Knights didn't. And I will leave myself open to that possibility. But again, I'm still kind of nauseated by it. It's just not a good deal.
And you know, the remedy to that is the season. So you're going to be nauseous for a good while until we get going in the season. Listen, the contract, and you were right, Adam. A lot of contracts are, at least the second contracts, are – you know, paying guys on, you know, at least for football, the signing bonus to me is for the things you have done. We recognize that you were either an elite player or you were that, you know, good player or whatnot. So we're going to pay you a signing bonus based on that. The contract moving forward is based on what we believe you will either maintain or will become. So when I look at Hague, I would say the first 2 years are probably, in a sense, it could be too much money. The first year, 2 years for me is like a signing bonus. Or let's say the first year is like a signing bonus for things that you have already done. You know, you've shown us that you can play. So that first year is your signing bonus. Anything after that, or the, you know, if you want to take the 2 years, anything after those first 2 years is what we expect you to do moving forward. And hopefully for us, it works out to be a good contract, you know, meaning your production is matching or even exceeding, you know, exceeding the pay that we're giving you.
615-737-1025. Let me know what you think of my projected Predators lineup. I don't love it. It may be another long year in Smashville, folks. 615-737-1025. We'll put a pin on that for now. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us coming up next. Always look forward to our conversations with Hutton. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.